We can also pray to them to free us from the influences of demons, because also demons are angels. And as the good angels of God are meant to influence us for good out of love for us, they actually love us the way God loves us, you know? Never forget that. The demons are constantly working to inject their poison in us with a very clear goal for us to be lost, body and soul. They are destroyers. And as angels, they have the same capacity to access those parts of ourselves that our guardian angel can. Our imagination, feelings, our will. And these can be infected by demons, oppressed by demons. Our will can be very weakened and even reduced to almost nothing by demons. They can confuse our minds. They can remove the little peace we have. Now, if we live in sin, we are surrounded with demons, more or less, of course, because they have a way in through the sin. Because every sin opens a new door to them in us, well, more or less depending on the seriousness of the sin. And even when we are not aware of the danger or the reality of sin, nevertheless, we remain vulnerable to evil. Take a little boy of 3, for example. He's playing in the house and he doesn't know that putting his finger in the electrical socket could kill him. It's not his fault, nobody told him. But because he doesn't know that it is wrong, he does it. And what happens? There is a deadly shock that comes all the same. It's not because he doesn't know that the shock doesn't come, you see. And it's the same for us with sin. For example, take the sin of abortion. If a girl does not know that it is a serious sin, her moral responsibility before God for that action is not as great, but the harm happens all the same. You know, ignorance has never been a virtue. Now here I need to say something about demons because it's also part of the angels, invisible world. When God created the angels, they were all good. There were no demons and God never created demons. The angels were created by God in the light, in His light, and they are creatures of light. But just like us, they had to go through a test. And the test was a choice. They had to choose to be with God and serving and His plans or not. Because being in heaven with God is not automatic. Nobody gets to heaven without a free choice. We are free to say yes to God. And because we are free to say yes, we are also free to say no. You cannot be free to say yes without being free to say no. Otherwise, what kind of freedom it is? Think of this. If somebody tells you that he loves you, but then you find out that this person had no other option but to love you. He had to love you. What kind of love is that? You won't be filled with that. On the other hand, if you find out that this person had 100 chances not to love you and still he chooses to be with you and to love you, then that is a real love, you see? Love and freedom go together, you just cannot separate them. There is no love without freedom. So God, who loves us perfectly, waits for us to choose freely to be with Him. And this is why there is that test. And when God created the angels, they were free to choose Him and to agree with His plans or not. And some angels, unfortunately, oppose God. They refuse to serve His plans. Non serviam. They disconnected from God, who is the source of good, and then they became evil spirits. Because there is no good, no light away from God. There is not a place where you can be good in the light away from God. No, it doesn't exist. Now, the evil spirit kept the characteristic of their nature, but of course they used them for wrong purposes. Now, let me read a few things, because we need a minimum of proper theology there. And here are some quotes of a few paragraphs from the Catechism. 392. Listen. Scripture speaks of a sin of these angels. This fall consists in the free choice of these created spirits who radically and irrevocably rejected God and His reign. So here you have the word irrevocably. This means we know that the angels do not have the ability to reform as we human beings do now on earth. They are stuck in their final choice, which is no to God. Now, 393, another paragraph of the Catechism. It is the irrevocable character of their choice and not a defect of the infinite divine mercy that makes the angel's sin unforgivable. There is no repentance for the angels after their fall, just as there is no repentance for man after death. End of quotation. Because you know, being angels, they had no blindness. And it was with full consciousness that they said no to God. Here on earth, we human beings are so blind, you know, we have no idea what it is to be in the full light of God. This is why we can always change our no into a yes when we are on earth. During our lifetime on earth, we can always reform ourselves and repent. But when we get into our last hour, there comes a moment when we make the final choice for eternity. So either you choose God and humbly ask forgiveness for your sins and you receive His mercy, and then you are introduced to heaven or to purgatory if you need first to be purified, or you decide to reject God. And you know, if you say many little no's to God your whole life, you might also reject God at the last moment. And with that choice to be without Him for eternity, you put yourself directly to hell. If you say many little yes to Him, you may definitely say a big yes to Him when you see Him. Our Lady said to the visionaries of Medjugorje when she showed them hell, and they asked, how can this be? Our Lady said, these are people who choose to go there freely, with their whole freedom, in the full light. Once you are in heaven, you do not go out. You don't even think to go out. That would be so silly. Even in purgatory, the souls know they have received salvation. And although they suffer a lot from the purification, they would not like to go back to earth where there is so much darkness. But if you are in hell, it means you don't want to receive anything from God and you stay there forever. It's not that God doesn't want you, but you don't want God. You hate God. This is what the word irrevocable implies. Total rejection of God and His grace forever. Let me read for you another passage of the Catechism, because it explained very well the fall of the angels. 391. Behind the disobedient choice of our first parents lurks a seductive voice opposed to God, which makes them fall into death out of envy. Scripture and the Church's tradition see in this being a fallen angel called Satan or the devil. The Church teaches that Satan was at first a good angel made by God. The devil and the other demons were indeed created naturally good by God, but they became evil by their own doing. Now Lucifer, whose name means he who carries the light, was a very, very bright angel. But when he was tested, he said no to God. He rebelled against the will of God and therefore he fell. Though he had the same possibilities, the same character as the other archangels, he used all his power against God and against the creation of God, and against the creatures of God. This is why, by the way, He's after us. And His job, contrary to our guardian angels, is to get us separated from God and to lead us astray from the will of God and God's plan for our life. And we are surrounded by thousands of these bad guys, the bad angels, I mean, the rebellious ones, who are trying so hard to separate humanity from God. In Medjugorje, Our Lady said this, Satan is strong and desires to destroy not only human life, but also nature and the planet on which you live. Therefore, dear children, pray that through prayer you can protect yourselves with God's blessing of peace. She said also, if you would be strong in faith, Satan would not be able to do anything against you. Now, let me explain the word faith. In Hebrew, faith is emunah. And emunah means adhesion, when we adhere to God, which means to be connected, to be one with God. And the devil is par excellence the disconnected one from God. So when we have faith, which means we are connected to God, we are adhering to God, the devil cannot harm us. And by permission of God, the demons know us and they know our weaknesses. They have the same intelligence as the other angels. They are very smart, very cunning. And this is why it is very important not to address any demon. Suppose you are tormented. Don't speak to them. Don't start a conversation with them. You know, Eve in the Garden of Eden spoke to him, to the serpent, directly. and she fell into sin because she believed every word the serpent said to her, even though these words were opposing God's words. Remember, the serpent, in other words, Satan, he's a liar and is the father of lies. So don't speak to them even if you are tormented. Go to Jesus, go to Mary, go to your guardian angels and ask them to protect you from the evil one. But don't address Satan directly unless you are a priest or, of course, an exorcist. It's too dangerous. You'll get stuck. You'll get trapped. In Medjugorje, Our Lady says, "You must realize that Satan exists. He's destroying marriages, creating division among priests, and he's responsible for obsessions and murders. You must protect yourself against these things through fasting and prayer, especially community prayer. Carry blessed objects with you. Put them in your home and restore the use of holy water." Now, we have to know about the existence of the demons, though many people deny their existence, because we have to fight against them and resist them. You know, if you are on a battlefield, which we are, and you ignore the enemy, you are defeated before you start, you know. We have to know about the existence of the demons so that we may fight against them and also resist them. The best way to fight against them and to defeat them is to have Jesus' power within us, which means through prayer and also through fasting. And the rosary is an incredible weapon against Satan, Anne Marie says so often in Medjugorje. Because when saying the rosary, you know what happens? We place ourselves and also our family under the mantle of Our Lady. And Satan has never been able to touch her. If you are under her mantle, you'll be safe. But for that, you have to belong to her in a true way, in a real way, which means to live her messages, to live the gospel, of course, not only in words, but in deeds. Our Lady says this, "Dear children, do not allow Satan to take control of your heart so that you become an image of him and not of me." She also says, "Dear children, do not be afraid of Satan. That's not worth the trouble. Because with an humble prayer and an ardent love, one can disarm him." You know, you don't need to be afraid of Satan if you are with Jesus and Mary. He is the one to be afraid of you. He's terrified even by a little child who prays. On the contrary, if you are not with Jesus, if you are not in a state of grace, and if you won't sin, then please be afraid of Satan because you're in trouble. He has an access to you and he will harm you. Well, when I say be afraid of him, may this fear lead you to confession and change your life. That's what I mean, of course. Don't remain in that fear.